And once again, this is The Blob, along with my co-host, King Cow. And you're here for another edition of Vinyl Rhetoric.
Really?
You should see what he's doing to himself.
Vinyl Rhetoric. Oh, I'm complete. Thank you.
Done for the day. Here, hand me that napkin. Hey, how you doing, man?
Hola. How are you?
Bueno.
Good. Good, good, good. As...
Can we switch to German?
Jawohl. Da. Es gut. Ich verstehe kein Deutsch. Sprechen Sie Englisch, bitte? Bier. That's my vocabulary. Oh, Gesundheit. And my other German that I know. I see nothing. I know nothing. Klink.
Klink. I love that. That was a funny show.
Yeah, it was a funny show.
He died in a kind of tragic way.
Who? John Banner?
No.
Wilhelm Klink?
No, Bob Crane.
Oh, yes, he did. He was American.
Yeah, he was the.
Yeah, Colonel Hogan.
Colonel Hogan.
Hogan!
And what was
Kinch?
The communication.
Newkirk? Kinch.
Was it Kinch?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can't remember his name.
Carter.
And Carter, yeah.
The explosives dude. Lebeau.
Yeah, the French resistance dude that got caught with him. Wasn't there a black guy on that?
Yeah, Kinch.
That was
Kinch.
Oh, he was the communications guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
I just saw a reel on it, and it was the Larry somebody.
Larry Hovis? Larry Hovis is Carter. No, Carter? Yeah, Carter.
Okay.
Sergeant Carter? Yeah, Sergeant Carter.
Okay.
Yeah, the dopey guy?
No, I thought it was kind of the smarter dude. But he was kind of sneaky. I'll look him up.
Well, Larry Hovis, he was good. He was good on explosives. He was just kind of dopey.
Right.
Newkirk. Right. Newkirk.
I think it was Newkirk.
That's Richard Dawson.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
And he would be this smart, sneaky guy.
Yeah, that's what I was... Why do I remember that?
I don't know.
Out of all the characters.
I love that show.
Oh, yeah, it was funny. I used to watch it all the time.
I think it was on 7 seasons.
Really?
Yeah.
Until Crane met his demise?
No, I think it went off before that. I mean, right after that, he passed away, or was passed away.
He was passed on.
Yeah. Actually, they made a movie.
I kind of like that.
They made
about that.
About Bob Crane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like something with the camera. Something had to do with the camera.
Yeah, he was apparently pretty freaky.
Yeah, he was apparently pretty freaky. Apparently.
Yeah.
And
I never saw any of his work, so I
did not
know.
Either. But they think that it was his friend that did it. In Hawaii, just bashed him in the head.
Really?
Yeah, did you know that? He got beat to death.
Yeah, he was beaten, pretty severely.
But I think it was like his pickup friend, co-pilot.
A wingman
slash possible lover or filmographer of his exploits.
Wow.
Or
no
the actor in his
I did not know that.
In his directorial pursuits.
Would you like to be in a film?
Yeah, it was like Open Shutter or Shutter. It was something like that was the name of the movie. I can't remember exactly the name of it.
Gotcha.
I mean, I can tell you in 1 second. It was, I know Greg Kinnear was played Bob Crane.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was.
What was it?
Willem Dafoe was his buddy. Autofocus, that was the name of it. Autofocus.
I like.
So yeah,
Greg Kinnear.
He married, what's her name? Olga. Okay, the Colonel Klink's secretary.
Secretary Olga, really?
Yeah, or whatever. I think your name was Olga. It might have been something, but either her or the second one. Because I think there was two.
Yeah.
So it was the second one that Bob Crane ended up marrying.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I've heard interviews with Werner Klimper saying they weren't pornographic in nature, but they were erotic. He was trying to be very diplomatic about the words he chose.
Right. Right.
I think he won 2 Emmys
for
Colonel Klink. Yeah, I think so.
Burkhalter,
Major Klink's Hofstetter.
Yeah, his Klink superior.
Yeah, General Burkhalter.
Klink. I know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that show was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I believe.
I just can't believe I'm thinking, why did I go there?
Maybe because that album, because you said, let's talk in German. And so there I started using my German.
Yeah.
That album I had that I played previously with the children's stuff was all, it had
recorded
shows. It had those shows. No, it had those shows.
Did it really?
Yeah, it had. It had Hogan's Heroes on there. So. Yeah. And you know that's bad when you can start singing or doing the opening credits.
Yeah, the whistling. Yeah. Though I wasn't whistling really well. I was more blowing wind.
As long as we were doing it together.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Yeah, we were in unison. We were harmonizing.
Our whistling and blowing. Yeah. That was good of us.
Oh, man. What did I say? Oh. I'm going to show you something.
Oh, great.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
It's pretty funny. It's small now.
Okay. We are doing a kid's show, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to show it to them.
Okay.
It's a picture. They won't be able to see it.
Good. Okay. Just checking. I'm looking out for our listeners. So that you're listening to Vinyl Rhetoric. You can reach us on Facebook at Vinyl Rhetoric. You can reach us on Gmail at vinylrhetoric@gmail.com. You can go to @vinyl_rhetoric and you can listen to all our shows on Podbean and
just come find us.
Yeah, you can. There's any of your pod, whatever they are.
We're 80% ubiquitous.
Yeah, there's lots of places you can find us. We'll just go with that. Wow, someone's happy. Someone hit the happy juice. Someone got a shot of what's that stuff?
Testosterone.
No. When you go to the dentist office.
Novocaine.
No, not that. The other thing. The laughing gas.
The mat.
What's it called?
Well,
CO2.
I don't know what they use.
They have some. It has some name. When you get that gas, what's that gas? Nerve gas.
I don't know. After they give it to you, you don't give a darn. It's gas.
Yeah, but what is it? It's got some other name before besides laughing gas.
Hysterically laughing gas.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. It's called, yes, I wouldn't know this one, dinitrogen monoxide. Nitrous oxide.
Really?
No, I don't know. Oh, nitrous oxide, commonly known as laughing gas or nitrous.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. That's, it's called laughing gas because due to the euphoric effects upon inhaling it. No laughing matter. Oh, that's a show or something. Anyway. But it says dinitrogen monoxide.
Dinitrogen.
But nitrous oxide.
Interesting, I get to share that with Reese.
What?
Well, because, you know, they used to watch that, was it Street Outlaws? And a lot of those guys run nitrous oxide in their cars.
That's why they're laughing when they win.
Yeah.
It leaks into the front.
Leaks into the front seat. Ah, I won. Maybe that's why they crash at the end.
Ooh, let's see what happens.
Yeah, look, I only got 9 rolls out of it.
Have you ever gotten nitrous?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I never have.
That's interesting.
I've only been Novocained up.
Oh, I've been Novocained, lidocained.
I had lidocaine as well. Unless they gave me it when I had surgery. But then I was out, so I don't remember.
Right, yeah.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah, I didn't laugh while they were saying count to 1 from 100 backwards, and I said what?
Yeah, I didn't get to 99 on sodium pentothal.
I said 100. I think I said 100.
And then I woke up throwing up.
And I woke up and they were trying to dress me. I think that's what they're doing.
They're trying to dress you or address you.
Yeah, I'm not. I think they were trying to dress me, or maybe they said I could dress myself, and I was trying to put on a shoe.
Did you ever see the movie Rocket Man?
I've not seen it.
You know.
No, I know. I always forget about movies, and then I see something that somebody told me about, and I watch it. I think I just saw Wind River. My friend was telling me about. I think that's the name of it. It stars Jeremy Renner, and he's some tracker up in Alaska.
Gotcha.
I liked it. It was pretty good.
I worked with his dad at the university.
Joey Renner?
No, his dad.
Frank Renner. Kenner Renner. Ben J. River Renner.
Runner Renner.
Runner Renner.
Yeah.
Rotor Renner.
Rotor Renner.
Hey, really, you did?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I don't think Jeremy had actually. He was doing acting, but he hadn't been in anything big.
Did I tell you? I don't know. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we went to Costco, or my wife went to Costco, and she's in there looking around, and she goes, I don't know if she said it to another person, some lady that was by her or not, but. She's like, how come every time you have something in it's always in the same spot, and then they move it to somewhere else? How come they do that all the time? And she said this guy got off, it was on his phone, jeans and a t-shirt, got off the phone and said, yeah, I can't believe that. And then I think he told her it's over here now. And the girl that she was with, they're like, was that Jeremy Renner? And so, yeah. So then they went on.
Wow.
Yeah, they went on their way. And I guess the lady that she was talking to, that they were like, that looked like Jeremy Renner. They were end up parking. They were parked by each other. So when the lady came out, she said she watched him and followed him and thought it was him. So a couple days later, I went to a meeting and this girl, I think, said something about, she said something, and it made me go, oh, well, my wife said she saw Jeremy Renner the other day. And the girl says, at Costco? I'm like, how'd you know? And somebody that knows him, or somebody that says, he goes to Costco, he'll go to Costco when he's in town all the time.
Yeah, I think he's dead.
And so I told my wife, and she's like, yeah, Vicky knew that you went to, and so I explained the story.
Oh, that's cool.
So it could have been, I was just laughing going, oh.
Yeah, that is funny. I like that.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me to see him here.
Yeah.
I know his dad works at the university, or did work at the university.
Yeah, I don't know.
He may be retired by now for all I know, but yeah. Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is funny. No, I'm. this is a real shitty real crappy segue.
Okay. Segue away.
Okay.
Segue away, okay.
A? Take off, A.
Take? You want some back bacon?
Yeah. I was going to say, well, you know, since we're on talking, you know, actors and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Do you remember Sebastian Cabot?
Yes.
From?
Was he Winnie the Pooh?
I don't know if he played Pooh. I just
He did voices for...
Yeah, he was also in a TV show called French.
Nah, I don't know.
No, he was French in a TV show. The character, his name was French.
Alf?
No.
Oh.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Anyway, Sebastian Cabot is one of the voices of this particular album. Now, this album is part of a movie. It was part of the Disney collection. Last movie Disney ever produced.
Walt?
Yeah. Walt, the original. Because we're going to do The Jungle Book. For the kids today.
I love The Jungle Book.
I love that. I just love the show. The movie. I like the movie. And I found an appreciation for the album that I have.
I have several of those.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I have The Jungle Book as well.
Okay.
Maybe Snow White. I want to say Cinderella, but I think I gave that to my sister because she loves Cinderella. I know I have like... four or five, and I had them all when I was a kid. I had a whole bunch that had a book with them, so you opened up the book.
Yeah, that's what this has.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you open it up, it's got, you know, the artistry, you know, the...
Uh-huh. The story, the pretty much the...
Yeah, the entire story.
Condensed, I think it's condensed.
What do they call it? When you draw the photo, when you draw the pictures for like a story book.
Illustration?
Illustrations, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were neat.
Well, I had them, and then I know my sister, like Peter Pan, I had Peter Pan.
Oh, okay.
My sister, I think, snagged them all from my mom and dad's house.
Really?
Yeah. And so...
She was after them.
They're gone. An estate sale. And I went there.
Really?
And it said all albums were, I don't know, 50 cents or something. So I went through them, and there was like maybe 5, 6, 7 Disney ones. Ding, 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 ding. So I took them all out, and then I went to go pay, and they said, oh no, those are $2.50 each.
Really?
I said, what are you talking about? It said all albums 50 cents. So then I got into a heated discussion. And I was not happy. I said, it would have been fine if it said that. Well, they labeled it wrong. I don't care what they labeled. This is what it said. So after much deliberation, I got that. I got it. I don't know. Maybe I paid $2 a piece, which I was okay with paying. I would have been okay paying $2.50 had I known, you know, had that been labeled that way.
Yeah.
So I got them all. And there was a couple other things I got. One of them I know was a big jar of ball bearings. And what did I get the ball bearings for? Because they're decent sized ball bearings.
Oh, really?
Bing! For slingshot or wrist rocket or whatever. I have a wrist rocket. So, and I've used rocks, but if they're not well shaped, sometimes they spin off in directions I go, I'm not too keen on that. But, so I have those. Plus I went to the record store in Chico, 8 months ago, whatever it was, six months ago. And I found picture discs of, because I know I found also there, I found a Cinderella. And I gave that to my sister. So I think I might have got both of them and gave them to her, one for her birthday and one for the next birthday, maybe.
Yeah.
And I also, I got a Snow White one for my wife and several others. I think Jungle Book is one of those. And those ones are, it's a record cover.
Okay.
But it's got, it's clear cellophane circle so you can see the picture. And then I know I also have, I believe it's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade album, where it's talking. It has dialogue of the movie throughout, okay. And it's basically, you listen to it, and it's a double-sided album that started, and it's the start of the movie, and turn it over, and it goes to the end of the movie. But they cut out a lot. But it's
got it.
It's got quite a bit of dialogue. So I'll occasionally put that on and listen to that.
Wow.
I thought that's one of those things. How do I play this? It was Rush when you said, "Hey, I'm going to do this," and I thought that is a great idea. Playing, letting the album play in its entirety, and then talking.
Yeah.
Or well, I have some albums coming up where songs run together, and instead of trying to cut them, I'm just going to play them.
Play them through.
I think one side two songs run together, and the other song three songs. So I'll just play all three songs. So you get to hear what it sounds like
off the
when
album.
I listen to it
off the album.
That's even sometimes when I'll put the CD in. And I've recorded it, and it's on my iPod, or I have it in my car playing. It'll play the song, and then it'll just abruptly stop because it's going to the next song, because that song technically is over.
Right.
And then I'm like, I already know what's coming up.
Right.
And so it's kind of,
That was one of the things about, is it all vinyl? Well, newer stuff you're not going to get on vinyl.
There's a lot of stuff that I'd love to.
Though I will say that they're making an effort, I think,
release
more popular stuff. So there's a group that I like. Well, it's EDM.
And that's the name of the group?
No.
I'm Edie. EDM.
EDM. EDM.
Oh, so Edie's not her first name, and M's not her. Like.
EDM.
Stevie B.
Electronic dance EDM. Music.
They're friends, Stevie B, Stevie D, DVD, DVD, and EDM.
DVD.
DVD, 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 DVD,
DVD, DVD, DVD, DVD, from?
I don't know.
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I know it's one of those things.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of.
I liked it, but all I wanted to see was their planes fly and shoot each other or shoot the back.
Oh, man, I seen one on, it's a barbecue built like a TIE fighter.
Nice.
That was so cool.
Awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I thought so. It just was really neat. So, and then, what was I saying?
EDM?
EDM album,
making effort, EDM album to come out with record.
Yeah, and so there's an EDM group that I like called Bass Nectar.
Bass Nectar?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was over at Rasputin's the other day, and I was looking through albums, and there was a Bass Nectar album.
Did you?
Well, it was it had a slot for it,
but
there was no album there. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I thought, oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'd have got that if it was there, even if it was 20, 25 bucks, I'd have paid for it.
I listened to a podcast called... it's Dan Cummins. I can't think of the name of it. I cannot think. But he talks. He goes through stuff in history, and he does a deep dive on it, and just talks a lot about it. And it lately.
What's his name?
Dan Cummins.
Or Dan Carlin.
Cummins. No, okay. I know Dan. I have that one too.
Okay.
I subscribe to that. He doesn't put out so much for the. He puts out stuff for one of them, but not the other one.
Okay.
He has two different podcasts, but one he doesn't put out a lot on.
Dan Carlin.
Yes, Carlin does.
Yeah, when he does the long, 3-hour versions of some ancient historical battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. But I think he does that on Dan Carlin. The other one is like something more, not political, more. Like the Revolutionary War.
More contemporary.
One's more contemporary, and I think the other one's not.
Yeah.
Because the Dan Cummins one is Time Suck.
Well, that's interesting.
It's hilarious. He's a comedian.
Okay.
So I first heard him when I went to Manresa Beach, and they were, my daughter was playing it on Pandora. It was a comedy channel, and I heard all these comedians. I'm like, oh, some of them I thought were pretty funny. So he was talking before one of their little commercials. He was talking about, yeah, I have a podcast, Time Suck. So I downloaded it or ended up subscribing to it, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. And it's like
Time Suck.
Two and a half hours of talking about whatever, Ed Kemper the first one I saw, I scrolled through and found one, and I, oh, okay, where's part one? And it was the Templars, Knight Templars. And I had to break it into two because it was pretty long. But yeah, he just talked about a whole bunch of stuff. And so it is, I would say, rated R, because he just talks with like a comedy show. And so some of the things he says are pretty, I think they're funny, but they're not appropriate for children, but it's for the most part, it's factual. So they have a couple researchers, and they go through all the stuff, and then he just talks about it. So I listened to those two shows, but I think the next four or five were about mass murderers,
really?
Different ones. Yeah. And so he's in the, I mean, these are around 150 or 160, I think, episodes. So he has a whole bunch. So I went back and downloaded a couple of those because I'm all caught up when I started subscribing.
Right.
But he'll talk about upcoming tour dates for himself and this and that. And one of the things he said, yeah, my our album release is coming out.
Really?
So yeah, he has his on vinyl. He's got.
Oh, that's cool.
He's got a pressing of whatever his comedy show is. So I'm like, I'm tempted just to look and get it just because I like albums.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of cool. He's, well,
that's what I was about to base it. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't have thought they would be putting stuff like that out on vinyl now, but if there's profit to be made, I guess they would.
Yeah, I agree. I think that
there must be some profit because they had a section for it, but no albums in there.
Yeah,
it's kind of a bummer.
I think his album is Dan Cummins, and the name of the album is Maybe I'm the Problem.
I was gonna say Maybe I'm Coming.
Yeah. So anyway,
to your house.
To my house?
Yeah.
What about my house?
Well, it's a children's show, so I had to finish that statement.
Oh. Coming to your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy the especially the old Disney movies.
Yes.
To me, they're very nostalgic.
Yeah. There was a remember Fantasia?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually, that whole process was started by UCLA. I believe it was UCLA. Study on the mind and how it reacts to color and movement.
Really?
Yeah, there was some research project going on, and they were like, oh. And Disney went, let's do something like that. And that's how Fantasia came into fruition. Because it actually messes with, I don't know if it messes with your mind, but it, what's the term I'd be looking for? It does something to the way your mind
affects you.
Yeah. How it affects you through the mind by looking at certain colors and shapes and movement.
Well, I think that cell phones affect people. The way they stare at them, and it does something to their mind where I think it changes some nerve paths or some brainwave paths that they cause them to almost become addicted to them.
And lose track of
reality.
Yes.
Okay. The surrounding reality.
Yes.
Because they're just focused on that little box.
Yeah, and you get hit by a car because you just walk out in front because you know, I'm doing this, I'm not walking.
How many times do you see three or four people at a table in a restaurant or?
Yeah, nobody's talking.
And they're all on their phone doing. Yeah. Whatever they're doing. Yeah, I think it's going to be the downfall of America.
I listened to a show that was talking about that, and it's like, it might have been something on Joe Rogan, but, you know, it's like, everybody's losing, you know, their ability to communicate because they're not, they don't want to talk to the people near them. They want to reach out and be anonymous to other people.
I agree with
that. And have their opinions and their stance. And
without fear of retribution.
Yeah.
Or with total anonymity.
Yeah.
I also believe that, well, I don't believe, I also know that the tech people that have made this technology.
Right. Won't let their kids.
Won't allow their children on it.
Yeah. Which is kind of disheartening.
It's kind of interesting that, hello, you invented it and you're not having your children on it. What do you know that we don't know?
Right. And why don't you come out and tell us? What's it doing to us?
That's why I don't really, I have no issues about, I have a phone and if it goes off, I don't have to, like, I'm driving.
Yeah.
Today I was driving and I got a text. I actually thought it was you. And I'm like, I forgot about it. And it does it a second time because I hadn't looked at it.
Right.
And then I got to where I was going. And then I pulled it out and looked at it after I was all situated. And then I saw it was from your wife and, you know, responded. Took care of whatever I had to take care of.
Right.
But there's times I'm working.
It doesn't take first place.
And I'm driving. I don't care. I really don't care. Yeah, whatever. I mean, if I have someone in the car with me, I can get here. What's it say? Okay, tell them this. Or, you know, answer it, but
I usually don't worry about it unless I'm in, like, conversation with somebody at this moment, and then it goes off while I'm driving, and then I'll just, but I know where I'm at in the conversation, so a lot of times I know what the response will be, or I can look down and see the first word and know what the response is, and then I don't worry about it. But I'm not a real big...
For me, the biggest thing it is for me, well, a phone.
It's a safety tool.
I don't care about that.
Okay.
No. Something to occupy my time while I'm taking a dump.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean,
it's a good...
If I had a book, I'd read a book.
Right.
But I usually don't carry a book with me to the bathroom.
Right.
Sometimes I do at my house, or I know there's some on the back of the toilet that I can pop out, but... For the most part, I go, I got this, I play a game. And that's all I do.
See, I don't play games on mine.
Yeah.
I don't play games, period, really.
Well, I use it to text. Of course, I have a bad habit of texting in full sentences.
Me too.
And with proper spelling. I use it to make
calls. And punctuation.
And punctuation. I make calls. And then I play games. There was one other thing. I'm trying to think. There was one other thing that I know I do that a lot of people don't do. But yeah, I can't remember the other one. There's one other thing I do that I use actually. Oh, or there's one other thing I don't do. I've used it occasionally. And I'm talking maybe a half dozen times in the last 2 years to look at email, but it's only because I'm looking for a specific email that I know is saved.
Right.
So I know how to turn it on and look at my email, but I don't use it for email. I do use it a little bit for going on the internet, but only when I'm talking with someone and we're trying to figure something out.
Right.
Like,
yep.
I go to lunch with this guy all the time and we get in discussions and then he doesn't have a smartphone.
Oh, he does?
You know, he has like one that folds out, and then it's got a keyboard and a full keyboard, or he can do it on the other thing. But he'll use that, and so he'll go look for that on your phone, and so then I'll look for it, and I just speak and say whatever that thing was called, and then I'll find out what we were looking for, and then that I was right or you were right or. Neither one of us was right or whatever. Yeah. And then that's it. And then I don't know. I don't have enough time to do all that. Some of the people I see, sit at a signal and watch the people at the signal, how many of them are on their phone. And this is a game I told a friend of mine, this is a game I like to play. You're at a signal, it's red. the person next to you is on their phone, creep up like the light or start to go yeah, like the light to, and just watch them go. And then like watch. And so I told my buddy that, and he goes, "That's pretty funny." And so I don't know if he still does it, but I do it. I'm like, "Get off your phone." Or the other day.
But you're gonna feel bad when that guy gets killed in the car wreck.
I want to feel bad. You weren't on your phone. It wouldn't have happened. Easy, simple solution. Watch the light. It turns green. You go. Shoot. I'm thinking one time I'm at a light and I'm trying to find a radio station. I was trying to find a radio station and it turned green. I'm like, oh, the people already went. And everybody probably thinks I was on my phone. But no, I'm using the old tech and being stuck at a green light.
Yeah, I'm just doing audio.
But yeah, I watch people driving with their head down, looking at their lap. Oh, because I'm sly, you can't see my phone. But their head's like, it's pathetic that they that
it's not that important.
Looking at your phone is more important than yours or somebody else's life.
Yeah,
that's what it is. That's a
it comes down to
if that person was drinking and doing that, would you have the pity for them or think, no. Oh yeah, they're okay? No, but if they're on their phone, you think it's all right? I'm just whatever. Yeah. Anyway, enough of my complaining about
your ranting.
Yes, I am being a ranter.
Is that like a rancor from Star Wars?
Rancor rantor.
Nice. Would you like to hear the first side?
Sure. Are we going to listen to the whole side?
Yeah, we're going to listen to the whole side.
Okay.
So it'll be, you know, for all of you out there that wanted to hear our rhetoric and not the Jungle Book soundtrack, you know, this would be a good time to, you know, I don't know, go make lunch for about half an hour.
Funny.
Because I think it's about a 25-minute segment. Cool. So we're going to get right to the Jungle Book for the album recorded and released in 1967.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time, huh?
It's a long time.
I was 5.
I was 4.
Which is kind of cool because, you know, that had been right about my time to, you know, I probably didn't hear it till 68 or 9, but still it was, you know, it's kind of interesting, 1967.
Yeah, no, this is totally going back to when I was a little kid. We'd go to my grandmother's house, and she had placemats that were, you know, plastic, and they were, there was, I think, The Sword and the Stone, Peter Pan, The Jungle Book.
Oh, you mean like
placemats?
Yeah, placemats
that we had, that we would get because we were the kids.
Yeah,
so we would get those placemats with our food would be in.
Do you know where she got them?
I do not.
I wonder if, because I don't think McDonald's was doing stuff like that.
No,
at that time. But remember S&H green stamps?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Or even if we went to the gas station.
Oh yeah, that's
and they,
right.
They had stamps like.
Yeah, stamp books.
That you could redeem.
Yeah, and you got the stamps, and yeah, you got the book, and you put them all in there, and then after you got so many, you could choose a gift.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Interesting word. Anyway, here we go with side one of the Jungle Book.
First, let me introduce myself. In the jungles of India, they call me Bagheera, the panther. Now I'm going to tell you the story of a small boy named Mowgli. I found him in the dark, quiet jungle on the night it all began. I heard his hungry cries and knew he would perish without a mother's care. Yet it was many days' travel to the nearest man village. So, instead, carrying the little blanketed bundle carefully in my mouth, I took him to a nearby family of wolves. The mother wolf was happy to have another baby, and Mowgli grew up healthy and strong with his wolf brothers and sisters. No man cub ever was happier. Then, when he was but 10 seasons old, word swept through the jungle that Shere Khan, the tiger, had come to kill the young boy before he reached his manhood. For Shere Khan hated all men. The wolf pack leaders decided that Mowgli must be returned to the world where he belonged, to the man village where he would be safe. It was agreed that I, Bagheera, should be the one to escort him to the man village. We had often taken long walks together, so Mowgli rode happily astride my back, until I told him where we were going. "I don't want to go back to the man village," he protested. "I want to stay in the jungle." And we made a terrible fuss, and up to the very moment we were settling down to sleep up high in a tree, I was forced to repeat again and again how impossible it would be for a young boy to survive alone in the jungle.
Get some sleep. We've got a long journey ahead of us tomorrow.
I want to stay in the jungle.
Huh? You wouldn't last one day.
I'm not afraid. I can look out for myself.
Say now. What have we here? Oh, it's a man cub. A delicious man cub.
Oh, go away and leave me alone.
Oh, that's just what I should do, but I'm not. No, now, please go to sleep, man cub.
Yes, man cub. Please go to sleep. Please go to sleep. Sleep, little man cub. Rest in peace. Trust in me. Just in me. Shut your eyes and trust in me. Hold still, please. You can sleep safe and sound, knowing I am around. Slip into silent slumber, sail on a silver mist. Slowly and surely your senses will cease to resist. You're snoring.
Sorry.
Trust in me, just in me. Shut your eyes, trust in me.
Well, when I dozed off, Kaa the constrictor, a powerful python with hypnotic eyes, soon had Mowgli completely in his power. We panthers are light sleepers, and it's a lucky thing we are, because when a slight rustling noise disturbed me, I opened a sleepy eye just in time to see Mowgli completely wrapped up in Kaa's powerful coils. The python was ready to make a late evening snack out of my little man-cub friend. "Hold it, Kaa!" I roared, and the sudden noise was enough to make the python pause. He turned his attention to me, which was what I wanted, but I forgot about his hypnotic eyes. In a few moments, he had me hypnotized. Keeping two victims hypnotized at the same time was too much for Kaa. And while he was working on me, Mowgli awoke from his trance and wiggled out of the python's coils. Then, smart lad that he is, he pushed the heavy coils off the branch and they went tumbling to the ground, pulling the rest of their owner along behind. Kaa not only ended up in a heap, but got a knot in his tail besides.
last we saw of him, he was going off in a huff, hissing.
This is going to slow down my slithering.
The next morning, we were awakened by an earth-shaking, tree-shaking rumble. It was the Dawn Patrol march of the elephants with their leader, proud Colonel Hathi, calling out commands at the head of his pachyderm parade.
Silly grin, soldier. This is the army. Eyes front. Lieutenant, that haircut is not regulation. Rather on the gaudy side, don't you think? There, that's better. And as for you... Oh, there you are. Let's keep those heels together, shall we, son?
Okay, Pop.
Sir. Yes, now that's better. Well, new recruit, eh? I say, what happened to your trunk?
Hey, stop that!
A man cub! Oh, this is treason! Sabotage! I'll have no man cub in my jungle!
It's not your jungle!
Hold it, hold it! I can explain, Hathi. Colonel Hathi, if you please, sir. Oh, yes, yes. Colonel Hathi. The man cub is with me. I'm taking him back to the man village.
To stay?
You have the word of Bagheera.
Good. And remember, an elephant never forgets. I don't know what the army's coming to these days. These young whippersnappers, they are. Let's get on with it. Right face! Forward! March!
Dear, haven't you forgotten something?
Nonsense, Winifred, old girl. An elephant never forgets.
Well, you just forgot our son.
Son! Son! Oh, yes, yes, yes. Quite right. To the rear march!
When I grow up, I'm going to be a colonel, just like my...
If I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times.
Pop, look out! Gee, Pop, you forgot to say halt.
He said an elephant never forgets.
It's not funny. Let's get out of here quick before anything else happens.
Well, we ran out of that scene as fast as we could and caught our breath at a stream where a fallen tree provided a bridge. You're going back to the man village right now, I told Mowgli. You're going if I have to drag you every inch of the way. And that is exactly what I had to do. But it became a ridiculous tug of war with a boy holding onto a tree and me tugging at him. Then I lost my grip, fell off the log bridge into the stream, bumped my head on the bottom of the log when I came up, and, well, that was the last straw. Oh, that does it, man cub, I stormed, climbing out of the water to shake myself dry. From now on your own, alone. As I left, leaping into the trees, I heard the boy calling after me, "Don't worry about me." Oh, but I did worry, and well I might have, with good cause. His very first meeting on his own was with the no-account jungle bum bear named Baloo.
Dooby-dooby-dooby-dee-doo. Well, it's a doobity-doo. Yes, it's a doobity-doo. I mean a dooby-dooby-dooby-dooby-dooby-dee-doo. And with... Well, now. What have we here? Hey. What a funny little bit of a... Oh!
Go away!
Oh, boy, I've seen everything in these woods. Ooh, what have I run off? What a pretty thing this is.
Leave me alone.
Well, now, that's pretty big talk, little britches.
I'm big enough.
Pitiful. Hey, kid, you need help. And old Baloo's gonna learn you to fight like a bear. Now, come on, I'm gonna show you. Yeah. All right, now, kid, loosen up. Get real loose and then start to weave. Weave a little, now move. That's it. Now give me a big bear growl. Scare me. Oh, boy. I'm talking about like a big bear. From your toes.
How's that?
Yeah, you're getting it, kid.
Oh, no. It's Baloo.
That shiftless, stupid jungle bum. Weave about now. Look for an opening. Keep moving. Keep... Yeah, you're getting it, kid. Come on, that's it. He's a dandy.
Fine teacher you are, old Iron Paws.
Oh, thanks, Bagheera.
Tell me, after you knock your pupil senseless, how'd you expect him to remember the lesson,
Well, I didn't mean to lay it on him, so.
I'm not hurt. I'm all right. I'm a lot tougher than some people think.
You better believe it. Now, let's go once more. Now, I want you to keep circling or I'm going to knock your roof in again. You better keep moving. Ooh. Hey, right on the button. No. Now you're tickling. No, we don't do that here. No, you're tickling. I can't stand that tickling. Help, Bagheera!
Oh, boy, that's all he needs. More confidence.
I give up, I told you. Oh, I give... Hey. You know something? You're all right, kid. What do they call you?
Mowgli. And he's going back to the man village right now.
Man village? They'll ruin him. They'll make a man out of him.
all the loot. I want to stay here with you.
Certainly you do. Oh? And just how do you think you will survive? How do you think he will? What do you mean, how do you think he will? He's with me, ain't he? And I'll learn him all I know. Well, that shouldn't take too long. Look, now it's like this, little Britches. All you gotta do is look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities or Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few.
You eat ants?
You better believe it. You're gonna love the way they tickle. Movement! Look out! The bare necessities of life will come to you.
Up here.
They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big paw. Paw, have I given you a clue?
Golly, thanks, Lou.
Paw, paw. Whoa, silly Jimmy. Come on, Baggy, get with the beat. The bare necessities of life will come to you.
They'll come to me.
They'll come to you. How about scratching that old left shoulder while you're up there, Mowgli? No, just a hair lower. There. Right there. That's it. Oh, this is beautiful. Oh, that's good. Kid, we've got to get to a tree. This calls for some big scratching.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
Right on it. Yeah. That's delicious. Oh. Oh. A little bit. Just try and relax. Yeah. Cool it. Fall apart in my backyard. Because let me tell you something, little Bridges. If you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. When you find out you can live without it and go along not thinking about it, I'll tell you something true. The bare necessities of life will come to you. I give up.
Well, I hope this luck comes out.
Mowgli, how about you, sir?
Look for the bare necessities,
the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
Yeah, man.
I mean it. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Yeah, with just the bare necessities of life. Beautiful. That's real jungle harmony.
I like being a bear.
That's my boy. And you're gonna make one swell bear. Why, you even sing like one.
Well, I didn't stay around to listen, more's the pity. For if I had, I might have saved them from a lot of trouble. because it all turned into a lot of monkey business. Monkeys swooped down from the treetops and swept Mowgli up, up and down again, but always just out of Baloo's reach. Finally, those rascals tripped Baloo with a vine, tumbling him over a precipice and down into a deep ravine. For his part, from the bottom of the ravine, the stunned, bedraggled bear responded with his loudest roar for me,
Bagheera!
When I arrived and learned what had happened this time, it was not hard to guess where those monkeys were taking Mowgli. To the ancient ruins. I hated to think what would happen when he met the king of the monkeys. We hurried in that direction, but Mowgli was far ahead, being hustled through the treetops toward that monarch of the monkeys, King Louie. I remembered him well. A huge orangutan whose crown was made of banana peels.
Diddly-o-zing boing. Scabby-doo-hoopy-dee-zee-boo-doo-zap-diddly-o-dee-dee-moy. Wanna be a man, man, mon, mon, lorang, lorang, you dang, you dang.
We got him, King Louie!
Yeah, man, we got him, we got him!
So you're the man, cub. Crazy.
I'm not as crazy as you are. Put me down! You cut that out!
Cool it, boy. Unwind yourself. Now come on, let's shake, cousin.
What do you want me for?
Word has grabbed my royal ear. Have a banana. That you want to stay in the jungle.
Stay in the jungle? I sure do.
Good. And old King Louie, ba-ba-doo-ba-ba-doo, that's me, can fix it for you. Have two bananas. Have we got a deal?
Yes, sir. I'll do anything to stay in the jungle.
Well, then. I'll lay it on the line for you.
What would you think about that?
I love that.
I do, too. You know, I was having some interesting thoughts now about what I'm listening to.
Because
That's one of the things we do, is we kind of break them down, right? I am fascinated by the way the classical instruments that they use for the music evoke so much emotion and paint a picture.
I thought that when it opened, I thought for a second you were playing the wrong side. Because I thought this song comes later, but it was the opening, I'm sure the opening credits and the opening scenes.
Right.
But listening to the Baloo sing his song.
Yeah.
And just the thoughts that came rushing back, because Baloo later plays... And he looks the same. I think he's the same character. Kind of, I don't know, looking the same is the right thing. But he plays Little John.
Oh, from Robin Hood. Gotcha.
Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest. This and that. Got oodalali, oodalali, golly, what a day.
Golly, what a day.
Yeah.
Oodalali, oodalali, golly, what a day. Yeah.
So he plays that.
Do you know who sings that? Famous country guy, I believe.
Slim Whitman.
No, I don't. I'll look it up.
I don't know who sings it.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
So, and no worries. And then Ka is voiced by Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I've been trying to find out who does that.
Who does what? Ka's voice?
Who's Mowgli's voice and Khan's voice? And it's... I mean, the album actually states the people that are doing the voiceover, but it doesn't say which one is doing which voice.
Well, because I know that I think Bob Harris is Baloo.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
And Sebastian Cabot is Bagheera.
Okay.
Let's see. And let's see. Ka is voiced by Sterling Holloway. Is Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
It says voice actor decided to give Ka a lisp. The conditions that the Sherman brothers brought into the character song and Trust in Me. So when he's hypnotizing him.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, let's see. I think that...
You know, this was actually
Mowgli.
The two writers originally were not the Sherman brothers.
Okay.
And it was actually a very dark story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and well, Disney said no.
Well, there's a lot of dark stories that Disney changes.
Yeah. And you know, this was the last film that Disney himself was involved in because he died during this production.
Oh, okay.
I did not know that until I was reading some of the notes on it.
Yeah.
Which was, it's kind of interesting. I mean, he dies and this is the last thing they ever do. From the Walt Disney Animation Studios is where it came from.
I like the songs.
Oh, I bought this for the next song for what we get. What
is it? The man? I want to be.
I want to be a man cub. Yeah.
Jungle.
Because I just think it's. Think of the times it's in the 67. So you're coming out of the beatnik era.
Uh huh.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Would that be reasonable? Well,
okay.
So he's got that kind of that jazzy, What was that comedian's name that got in trouble? Lenny Bruce.
Uh-huh.
He kind of had that kind of feel about him.
Swagger.
And, yeah.
Let's see. Is Bruce Reitherman as Mowgli?
Okay.
Harris as Baloo.
Got it.
Sebastian Cabot as Bagheera.
Okay.
Louis Prima as King Louis.
Got it.
George Sanders as Shere Khan. Sterling Holloway as Ka, J. Pat O'Malley, oh, that's another one, Colonel Hathi. When they're...
Yeah, marching.
An elephant never forgets. Verna Felton is his wife. Clint Howard is Junior.
Really?
Yeah, did not know that. Never knew that one. Chad Stewart as Flaps.
That's how early that...
67.
No, but I'm saying that's how early
Clint and Ronnie Howard
Clint
were.
Clint and Ronnie Howard were.
Yeah, Clint Howard is in a Star Trek episode.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
He looks just the same, with maybe a little more hair.
Interesting. I think it's kind of cool.
I do too.
I think this is one of my favorites.
I really like this one.
You know, I didn't do the princesses thing or...
No,
you know.
I liked it because it, it was in the jungle. And
yeah.
It's basically, there's some kid living in the jungle. And the tiger wants to kill the kid. And
yeah.
They just want to get the kid back to civilization. And so...
Yeah.
Baloo, I liked him because he was happy-go-lucky. And hey, you can break the rules and still do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm just doing my thing, man.
So, and he's kind of like a beatnik.
Yes.
Kind of carefree, go lucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and he just takes him under, hey, let me take you under my wing and I'll teach you a few tricks, kid.
Here, have some ants.
I liked it.
But everybody had a really clean, solid character.
Well, and as you said, the all the music ties it all together.
And really gave it emotion, I thought.
Yep.
Which I think is And that's what, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking maybe that's why I like certain classical music. Because it does draw, just draws that emotion out of you.
It does.
And I'm really starting to see more of that after I'm listening to this. Because they're really using, I mean, this is the long, I mean, not long, but it's a lot of electrical instruments, but they realize that they can get a much better emotional draw from using classical woodwind and stringed instruments and wind instruments. And
yeah.
I mean, some of the flute work is like really cool, you know?
Yep.
You know, it's but the butterfly flapping. I can't.
But they did that, a lot of that with instruments.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And imagine the guy that, you know, that you're arranging that.
And it's like what I talked about last episode with Carl Stallings that did the Looney Tunes stuff.
Yeah.
That they recorded the music as they were watching they recorded the music to fit into what they were watching on the screen.
Right.
And that's what they did with all this, you know, I think this, Snow White, Sword in the Stone, Dumbo, all those early Disney cartoons.
Yeah, right.
Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah.
That everything was coordinated instead of, you know, now I think what they do is they can take that piece of music and they don't have to look at the film to do it. They can record it and then fit it in. Everything's digital. They don't have to do each frame.
Well, imagine how much slower it would take when you had to, you know, like, oh, we played this and, oh, that didn't sound right, so do it again. Whereas if it's recorded, like, we could do now.
No, exactly.
You know, yeah, just, you know, like, oh, loop that again, or, you know, no, go back a little further in time.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
The technology has made it.
But I think it's a real testament to
Their craft.
The craft is in and of itself.
I agree.
I mean, and imagine that would be, now you're a sessions, like a sessions musician. You know, where there's a lot of guitar players out there that never play live on stage, but they're on a lot of albums. Yeah. You know?
I like Blue Song.
Oh, I bought it for...
I know, you like the Monkey Song.
Yeah, I like King Louie's.
But I like Baloo's Song.
Well, yeah, because it really enhances the lifestyle that he lived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, yeah, you can hang with me, man. Come on.
I would ask you this question, and I'm mostly serious. Isn't this a musical?
I never saw it as that.
But isn't it a musical? I know you never. I never saw it as a musical, but it is.
But I would think it would probably qualify.
Technically, it's
there's music in it. There's singing.
People, yeah. They sing for no reason.
Yeah,
there. It's like Elvis walking down the street and then
busting
out in.
I stopped
song.
At the gas station to go to the bathroom and bust out into.
I'm the king. No. But this is the same thing, yeah. Except it's in cartoon form.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean it's,
and it's early animation.
It's specifically designed for children.
Yep.
But you can appreciate it as an adult.
Oh yeah.
But it's a musical, so you like musicals.
I guess I do.
I've learned something new about you.
That's to say, I'm learning something new about myself. That's, you know, funny. What I mean? It's like weird for me.
I dig, especially the early Disney cartoons.
Yes.
Yeah, because I forgot, I really loved Robin Hood.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The Disney version of Robin Hood.
Yeah, because that was the fox. He was a fox,
and,
yeah.
And Little John was the bear, and I think Marion was also a fox.
Yes.
Prince John was a lion, Prince John, the something king of England, the fake king. They had some name.
He was the interim.
Yes, but they one of the songs they sang was Prince John, the phony king of England.
Yeah.
That was the song they sang. Maid Marian's lady in waiting, I can't remember what her name was, but she was a chicken. They clucked a lot.
Yes, yes, I recall that now.
And I
yeah.
think part of the reason I like this is because that one is because it was one of the first shows that a movie I went to go see. I could see by myself, or we saw it for school. We saw it for something. I liked it. I liked
it was
some of the
movie.
Songs.
It was a good movie.
I liked that. And that's the thing. I started singing the blues song when it was playing, and I'm like, oh yeah, now I remember. Even some of the other songs that from other movies start to come back. Oh yeah, I remember this one and this one, and partly if you had the album, you could play it and hear the song, and partly because it had catchy enough lyrics that it would stick in your head.
Yes.
And they were
audibly legible.
I was going to say they were simple, that you could hear them. They were clear, and it wasn't like, oh, well, I don't know what he's saying. No, you knew exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, and the music enhanced it.
And I think that it wasn't, whether the guys could sing or not, it wasn't designed to be
dubbed.
No, it wasn't designed to be a song per se, as more like something to enhance the story.
Agreed.
I'm gonna sing a song right now, and I'll just sing a few lines, and you tell me what movie it is. Hi ho, hi ho, it's off to work we go.
Gotcha.
I mean, simple. You knew exact. I 98% of all people would hear that.
And go Snow White.
Yeah. Yep. Or you're doing the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes.
So to speak. So yeah,
nice.
I really enjoy the older Disney stuff.
I must say that just hearing this like this is really fun to kind of dissect and show me what I've like maybe missed in my life about You know, the way you think now and the way you thought when you were 10, watch this, and listen to it. It's totally different. And I find a really nice appreciation for the craft that all these voiceover people and they were involved in. And I can see why there's why sometimes in this industry, some of the work that gets done is recognized by their peers. Because being able to do this type of stuff is hard. And not so much hard as in, oh, this is hard, I can't speak or whatever. But back then, it was a real time commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like today where, okay, we got this down now. You just sit, this one guy here sits in the control room and starts putting pieces of things together.
Right.
Back then, it was, you got up in the morning, you grabbed your oboe. You bust across town, you went to a studio and you sat there all day. And maybe somebody would bring you lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what a commitment to do that for a living.
And because all the cartoons themselves were drawn.
Yes.
Like frame by frame.
Yeah. Something else, ain't it?
Uh-huh.
When you really stop and think about it.
Yeah.
All the effort that went into doing this type of animation was, and I'm not saying that today's animation isn't, as complex or as time consuming, but I mean, I assume it is just because of the tools that they have to work with now. But I think once you learn those tools, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, some of the tools, I think the tools make it easier to put out that project.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, you still have to have someone write your show, and if you had a Toy Story project that wasn't funny, it doesn't have the same charm as a Toy Story show that is funny.
Yeah,
like well written, and there's not anybody I know that said, "Oh, that was horrible." The only thing I heard, I think the third one, oh, that was pretty dark.
Yeah, well.
And sad.
It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, oh, I know.
You know.
I liked it. I liked them all. I liked Shrek. I mean, there's lots of cartoons that I've watched or animated features.
Yeah, there's a number of them that I really like.
And,
but I think when you get into the twos and threes, like into the franchising part of it, I think it's tough.
I think that's the one thing with both Toy Story and Shrek. I think they did an excellent job of making the
sequels
to good. Where you're not thinking, oh, they were just doing this to capitalize on the money. No, they had good stories. Nice plots that you could follow. And
my other one was Madagascar.
I saw the first one only.
Really?
I didn't see the. I like the penguins.
Yeah, they love the penguins.
They cracked me up.
Yeah.
So.
Private.
Do you want to?
Yeah, you want to get into the last. The
second side?
Yeah.
Sure.
Here comes the song I really like.
Now I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I want to be a man cub, and stroll right into town, and be just like the other men. I'm tired of walking around, oh, ooby-doo. I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. Cheep. Talk like you. Choo-choo. You see it's true. Shoo-bidi-doo. An ape like me. Scooby-dooby-dooby. Can learn to be human too. Try to kid me, man cub. I made a deal with you. What I desire is man's red fire to make my dream come true. Now give me the secret, man cub. Come on, clue me what to do. Give me the power of man's red flower so I can be like you.
Fire. So that's what that scoundrel's after. I'll tear him limb from limb. I'll beat him. Yeah. Well, man, what a beat. Will you stop that silly beat business and listen? This will take brains, not brawn. You better believe it, and I'm loaded with both. Will you listen? Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, while you create a disturbance, I'll rescue Mowgli. Got that?
I'm gone, man. Solid gone.
Not yet, Baloo!
Is up and running, up the beep, la da 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 da
da da da
da da da da
da da da da
da da da da da
da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da
da da da da da da da da
da da da
da da da da da da
da da da da
da
da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
someone like me.
Take me home, Daddy. Can learn to be. someone like me.
It's Baloo the bear.
Yeah, that's him.
How'd a square get in there?
Baloo, it's you.
The chase that followed was something to see. In the course of it, Baloo and King Louie took some real swinging turns that loosened one of the ancient pillars, and a corner of the old temple started to collapse. To save his precious palace, King Louie leaped to take the place of the fallen pillar and hold the sagging building up. Baloo could not resist taking advantage of the situation, King Louie standing there with his arms over his head. Baloo tickled the king into such a fit of giggling that it shook the whole ancient temple down. Baloo overtook Mowgli and me, and for the first time, we shared a good laugh between us. Baloo said, "Man, that's what I call a swinging party." That night, after Mowgli was asleep, I tried to explain to Baloo that for the young lad next time, it would not be just a pack of silly monkeys. It would be Shere Khan the tiger. He hates man with a vengeance, you know that, I reminded the bear. He'll get Mowgli while he's alone and helpless. Just one swipe and... Stop worrying, Baggy, stop worrying. I'll take care of him, Baloo assured me. He pointed out that Mowgli was his adopted son. But finally, it was this fact that made it easier to convince him he must think of what was best for the boy. It's up to you, I told him. Why me? Because he won't listen to me, I sighed. The next morning, Baloo tried to explain to Mowgli why he had to go back to the man village. He didn't have much luck. The boy listened. But when it was all over, he cried, "You said we were partners, Baloo. You're just like old Bagheera." Then he ran deep into the jungle. Baloo followed, but lost him in the dense growth. When I learned what had happened, I joined in the search. Baloo kept blaming himself, saying, "If anything happens to that little guy, I'll never forgive myself. I've got to find him." Then we heard Colonel Hathi's elephant patrol approaching.
One, two, three, four, keep it up. Two, three, four.
Oh, beastly luck. Confound that ridiculous Colonel Hathi.
Company! Son of!
Oh, we march from here to there, and it doesn't matter where. You can hear us push through the deepest bush. Up, two, three, four.
We're a military.
Said halt. I give the commands around here. I'll speak up. Who was it?
Oh, it was me, Colonel.
What are you, Mitsa? Taking over my command. Highly irregular, you know.
Oh, Colonel, I'm sorry, but I need your help.
Oh, absolutely impossible. We're on a cross-country march.
But it's an emergency, Colonel. The man cub must be found.
Man cub? What man cub?
How interesting.
The one I was taking to the man village.
Oh, good. That's where he belongs. And now, sir, if you don't mind, we'd like to get on with the march.
No, no, no. You don't understand, Hathi. He is lost. He ran away.
How delightful.
Well, it serves a young whippersnapper right.
But Shere Khan, the tiger, he's sure to pick up the man cub's trail.
Shere Khan, nonsense, old boy. Shere Khan is within miles of here. Oh, sorry, Bagheera. Fortunes of war and all that sort of thing, you know.
This has gone far enough. Far enough. Now just a minute, you pompous old windbag.
Winifred, what are you doing out of ranks?
Never mind. How would you like to have our boy lost and alone in the jungle?
Our son is alone. But Winifred, old girl, that's an entirely different matter. Different, entirely.
That little boy is no different than our own son. Now you help find him, or I'm taking over command.
What? A female leading my herd? Utterly preposterous.
Pop, the man cub and I are friends. He'll get hurt if we don't find him. Please, Pop, sir, please.
Now, don't you worry, son. Your father had a plan in mind all the time.
Sure you did.
Troopers! Company! Lay face! Volunteers for a special mission will step one pace forward. That's what I like to see. Devotion to duty. Now, you volunteers will find the lost man cub.
Oh, thank you, Colonel. Now there's no time to lose.
Well, Bugler, when the man cub is sighted, you will sound your trumpet 3 times.
Yes, sir.
Shh! Not now, soldier.
Sorry, sir.
Lieutenant, our strategy shall be the element of surprise. You will take one squad and cover the right flank.
Yes, sir.
And I shall lead the other squad on the left flank. Very well. Company! Forward! Hatch!
We were unaware of it, but while we talked to Colonel Hathi, Shere Khan, Mowgli's deadliest enemy, was listening in the shadows. Now he knew the boy was somewhere alone in the jungle. So, all alone and friendless, Mowgli wandered in the jungle until he was spotted by 4 vultures.
Hey, Flaps.
What are we gonna do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I've got it. Let's flap over the east side of the jungle. They've always got a bit of action, a bit of a swinging scene, all right?
Ah, come off it. Things are right and dead all over.
You mean you wish they were?
Very funny.
Okay. So what we're gonna do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Look, Flaps, first I say what we're gonna do. Then you say, I don't know, what do you want to do? Then I say what we're gonna do, you say what you want to do, what we're gonna do, what you want. Let's do something!
Okay. What do you want to do?
Oh, blimey. There you go again. The same notes again.
I've got it. This time I've really got it.
So you've got it. So what we're gonna do?
Hold it, lads. Look. Look what's coming our way.
Hey, what in the world is that?
What a crazy looking bunch of bones.
Yeah, and they're all walking about by themselves.
So what we're gonna do?
I don't know. Hey, now don't start that again.
Come on, lads, come on. Let's have some fun with this little fella. This little blokey.
Blimey, he's got legs like a stork, he has.
Like a stork, but he ain't got no feathers, he ain't.
Go ahead, laugh, I don't care.
What's wrong with him?
I think we overdid it.
We were just having a bit of fun, that's all.
Oh, just look at him. What a poor little fella. You know, he must be down on his luck.
Yeah, or he wouldn't be in our neighborhood.
Hey, new kid, wait a minute. Hey!
Just leave me alone.
Oh, come on, what's wrong? You know, you look like you haven't got a friend in the world.
I haven't.
Haven't you got a mother or a father?
No, nobody wants me around.
Yeah, we know how you feel.
Nobody wants us around either.
Oh, we may look a bit shabby, but we've got hearts.
And feelings, too.
And just to prove it to you, we're gonna let you join our little group.
Kid, we'd like to make you an honorary vulture.
Thanks, but I'd rather be on my own alone.
Oh, now look, kid. Everybody's got to have friends. Hey, fellas, are we his friends?
We're your friends. We're your friends. We're your friends to the bitter end.
The bitter end.
When you're alone.
When you're alone.
Who comes around?
Who comes around?
To pluck you up.
Give us a smile.
When you are down.
When you are down.
And when you're
outside looking in, who's there to open the door?
Come on, kid, we need a tenor.
What friends are for. Who's always eager to extend a friendly claw. That's what friends are for. And when you're lost in dire need, who's at your side at lightning speed? We're friends with every creature coming down the pike. In fact, we've never met an animal we didn't like.
You take it, kid. So you can see, we're friends. We're friends in need, and friends in need. Oh, friends in need. Now, easy, lads. Steady, steady.
Watch it
forevermore. That's what friends are.
Meanwhile, Shere Khan had crept close. Just one look at his great fangs, powerful shoulders, and sharp claws threw the vultures into a complete panic. They retreated to the treetops, and Mowgli faced Shere Khan alone. But not for long, for just as the tiger lunged, that good old shiftless, wonderful bear, Baloo, caught hold of Shere Khan's tail and stopped him, inches short of his small boy target. Lashing about to get at the bear on his tail, Shere Khan's jaws crashed together like thunder. And then, cracking his tail like a whip, he again tried to get Mowgli. But Baloo held on doggedly. He was pounded and pummeled by the tiger in his wild determination to catch Mowgli. A rising storm sounded like only an echo of the furious battle below. Lightning stabbed down to set a tree afire with a shattering crash. Baloo was locked in a stubborn hold on the tiger's back, but he was tiring. He could not take much more of Shere Khan's battering. And then, Buzzy the Vulture, his eyes on the flaming tree, shouted, "Fire! That's it! It's the only thing old Stripes is afraid of!" The Vulture said to Mowgli, "You get the fire, we'll do the rest!" One of Shere Khan's mightiest blows suddenly ended the conflict for Baloo. He landed with a thud a dozen feet away, beyond a stony ridge. The vultures gave the tiger no chance to turn on Mowgli. They flapped and swooshed around Shere Khan, keeping up a heckling chatter to draw his attention to them, while Mowgli came up from behind the tiger with a burning branch from the fiery tree. The boy quickly tied the branch to the tiger's tail with a stout vine and finished just as its flames began licking at the tiger's fur. Yeah! Oh, let me tell you, it was a beautiful sight. That tiger went over the farthest hill and through the jungle like a flaming comet. Then, just over the ridge, we saw Baloo lying still and lifeless. Our tears joined with the rain that had begun to fall. Even the vultures wept for poor Baloo. I spoke a few words in memory of our friend and proclaimed the place a hallowed spot, because here he had sacrificed his life. We did not realize that Baloo was playing possum and enjoying every nice word I said about him. Only when it was over did he raise his head to protest that my funeral oration had ended too soon. Oh, needless to say, Mowgli was overjoyed at being reunited with Baloo, and the two of them vowed that nothing or nobody is ever going to come between us again. Then, a little further along the trail, we heard a voice in the distance singing. We were near the man village, and the singer was a young girl about Mowgli's age. She had come to a pool just outside the village to get a jug of water. Mowgli had never seen anything like her before.
Look, what's that?
Oh, it's the man village.
No, I mean that.
Forget about those, they ain't nothing but trouble.
Just a minute, I've never seen one before.
So you've seen one, so let's go.
I'll be right back, I want a better look.
Mowgli, wait a minute.
Baloo, let him have a better look.
Father's hunting in the forest, Father's cooking in the home. I must go to fetch the water till the day that I am grown. Till I'm grown, till I'm grown. I must go to fetch the water till the day that I am grown. Some husband and a daughter of my own, and I'll send her to fetch the water. I'll be cooking in the home. Mm-hmm. Then I'll send her to fetch the water. I'll be cooking.
She did that on purpose.
Obviously.
It was inevitable, Baloo. The boy couldn't help himself. It was bound to happen. Mowgli is where he belongs now.
Yeah. I guess you're right. But I still think he'd have made one swell bear. Well, come on, Baggy Buddy. Let's get back to where we belong and get with the beat.
After a few steps, Blue winked, shrugged his shoulders, and went into that silly, loose-jointed dance of his. Oh, I was so happy that my job was finally done that I joined him.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Forget about your worries and your strife.
I mean the bare necessities, all Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Good stuff.
You know, and this was another segment of this that I found. It was impressed upon me how the musical instruments enhanced the, like, even the visual.
My thought, exactly.
That when she's singing, what's playing?
A harp.
Harp.
Yep.
And what's a harp?
Angelic.
That's
exactly what I was thinking. What my thought was that the music conveys the emotion.
Yeah.
And because when they were talking to the elephants and they're talking to Shere Khan, and Shere Khan's watching them talk.
Yes.
And the music for him is very low end bass. I don't know if it was a.
It's a darker sound.
We're about to meet the antagonist or the
he's the antagonist. Yes.
So, and then of course you hear him. Very interesting. And he's got that deep voice. It was.
The other one I noted was when the vultures see him walking and they're talking, and they go, "Well, let's go down and talk to him."
Mm-hmm.
And the way they use the flutes and the clarinets for them walking. I could just picture them, because they don't walk, they hop, right? And that's what I'm literally envisioning them hopping along the ground over to him.
When they started singing, they were a barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to say barbershop quartet with, I was thinking of something else too. But I went to Barbershop Quartet when they started.
They were singing a cappella.
Yeah, they were doing a cappella.
And then instruments came in later, but...
Yeah, but when they were... Then they went to Barbershop Quartet, and I thought that was just totally cool.
Yeah, and what it... Because
if you've ever watched a Barbershop Quartet sing, which I think you have,
mm-hmm.
The link... Between the way they...
The visual presentation of how they sing?
The visual presentation, but the absolute intertwining of the words that make it come out,
Melodic?
Melodic and punctuated, I guess is more the word I'm looking for. It's... The punctuation is almost... as important as what they're actually saying. Because when they go up or down, or, the baritone comes in,
mm-hmm.
ooh, and you just go, oh, wow. That's so, and then the next part is, alto or something. And,
tenor, soprano.
Yeah, and it makes for that emotional connection.
Well, when they showed up, I had one thought. Those four guys, the way they're the Beatles.
That's what I was saying. Because 67, that would have been right about
that Beatles. That would be pure Beatles.
Yeah.
So I
and
was
they're English.
Yes. they were English.
I bet that was part of the...
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And another thing is when the elephant major's wife was talking.
Yes.
I'm like, I recognize that voice. She's Cinderella's fairy godmother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know she's in other stuff, but I'm like, I know
that. Yeah, she was a big voiceover.
Listening. I go, I know that voice. It was Cinderella. She's I'm sure, in other shows, but it was Cinderella's godmother. But even when
her name is Sterling Holloway.
That's Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
Sterling Holloway is Winnie the Pooh.
I read somewhere her name.
Oh, no. Her name is something else. Her name is Vera.
Vivian?
It is Verna Felton.
There you go.
So, if you haven't seen the movie, you're not going to know this. But when the start of Side 2 goes, and the King Louis wants the fire,
right?
And
Man's red flower.
As it's coming up to him holding the temple from it falling, I started tickling because I'm laughing, going, I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
But what was also funny is he dressed up like a girl.
Yes, he did.
And he put on coconuts on his...
Yeah, he was like a Hawaiian belly dancer type thing.
Slash ape.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was hilarious.
Coconut lips, yes. Yeah.
I just thought that was funny that the monkeys were not smart enough to see his great disguise.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It is. It really is. Look at it for your kids, man, and just play it. It's a really good watch.
And I was thinking, man, I wonder when I saw this, that's why I started to like girls.
I was really amazed that's like, you know, it's, at the end, it's like, oh, you're...
But I remember that scene clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, she's kind of... I'm thinking she's kind of cute. Hot, yeah. Oh,
I thought about that two minutes ago.
She looks... I like the... She's getting water, and she's singing. She's kind of... I like girls.
And the way they animated her.
She was seductive, 10-year-old, 12-year-old. And I'm thinking, I want to be a man cub, but I like the other part. So I have a feeling, I think I told you this. I know the very first girl I kissed.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, you did.
Kindergarten. Back behind a piano.
Probably this time.
I would have been 5. So, that would have been 68.
Yeah.
And I thought it was one girl. It turns out it was a different girl. Because when I went to my class reunion, like 35, she recognized me. I'm 40 pounds heavier, 5 inches taller.
I have no hair.
Shaved head. You know, I don't look like anything like when I graduated.
Yeah.
You know, I grew into myself, and she said hi, and I'm like, how do you know who I am? We went to school since kindergarten, and then she goes, I don't think I should tell you this, but my mom said you kissed me when you were in kindergarten. I'm like, it was you. I always thought it was Kelly Thompson. I remember doing it.
Yeah.
But I wonder, because I'm like, why did I like girls? But I don't even know. But if I saw something like this and thought, hey, you know what? All I know is playing with my friends. And then I find a new friend that, you look different.
Yeah.
I like the way you look.
Yeah, what's...
Man, what's... One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
One of these things isn't the same.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, like being young and growing up, you know, like he was adopted.
Well, he lived with...
And I don't know, adopted, so, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, connection there like that, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, kind of your, and I don't want to say your teenage years, but hanging out with guys that just, you know, free, happy-go-lucky.
Well, that's what Baloo was.
But, yeah, and a lot of times at that age in our lives, we are, you know, carefree and...
Well, didn't they wanted to be the He-Man Woman Haters Club? Don't they have that in there? Because I thought there was one, maybe it could be a different movie, where they totally were swearing off women. And I can't remember what it was.
from this.
Yeah, I also want to say, because, I mean, this is a condensed version of the movie.
Yes, yes.
But I thought there was a...
I think it was with the vultures.
I thought there was a point in the movie where they talked about, yeah, you know, stay away from, don't go to your mankind, because they're bad.
Well, yeah, well, that was Blue talking, I think.
Yeah, you know, but I almost... It's been so long since I've actually seen the movie.
Yes, I agree.
But it was, just hearing it was cool.
And you know, and then growing up and having, you know, stressors in life, you know, somebody's out to get you. And mm-hmm. and you may not even be technically aware of it. And then... You know, and I like the way they got the fire in from the storm clouds.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just think that was... I mean, the whole story was written in kind of a... Like living life.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually you get to that point in your life where you notice girls and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Everything else seems kind of pale in comparison now.
Yeah.
I need to talk to that. I want to communicate with something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the music too. Yeah. It enhanced the whole experience.
Yes, it did.
And you have to understand that in the movie, it's pretty much... however long the movie is, 75, 80 minutes,
yeah,
90 minutes,
that
the music doesn't really stop.
The total time for this album was 49 minutes.
And but it was narrated.
Yes.
Which the movie... There's a little narration, but all the scenes that are described are actually played out on the screen.
Yes, they are.
And there's music for all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to score the whole thing. It's not like... now I think that there's a lot more where there's not music for the movie. During, you know, there's scenes that have music in them, but a lot of times that you could have silence or, you know, just dialogue or sound effects. But in these cartoons, they had music for everything. The walking of the vultures and the dancing and the walking through the forest.
It's like how they can create the rain sound. You know, in that scene where he's going to get the fire, it's mm-hmm. going to lightning strike and stuff. It's like, the thing that really impressed me was the vultures walking with the flutes and the clarinets playing, you know, that kind of that hopping sound. It's like, mm-hmm. really, it's like a really good book that when you're reading, those books that you read that are so good that if they make a movie out of them because they're good, can't compete. The visuals that you see in the movie can't compete with the visuals that you formed in your own mind. I just think those types of books are fabulous, which is why I think some of the, you know, cooler movies that have been done with the effects and whatnot don't hold the story or don't engage me as much because I already know the story. Mm-hmm. I already know what's going to happen. But I don't picture it. I didn't picture it that way.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a true testament to be able to, you know, put something out there. I thought the Lord of the Rings trilogy,
mm-hmm.
I thought was relatively good in translating what I pictured in my mind versus what I ended up seeing from Peter Jackson's.
Right.
Was... Though I realize it's, you know, an unreal realm, so there's, you know, it could look like anything. But I did picture a lot of the things that I saw in the movie to be at least in the same track as the book. You know, what I put together in my head out of the book and what I saw on the screen were remotely similar enough for me not to be put off by it.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Man, that's... I think that when Rudyard Kipling wrote this book, that it was you said earlier, darker, and that they changed somewhat. I don't know what the, because I've never read the book.
I never have either. The book was not titled The Jungle Book, you know that.
No, I didn't.
It was titled Mowgli.
Okay.
So if you ever wanted to read it.
Oh. You know what? I almost want to say I've read it. I almost want to say I have. Because,
really?
Yeah, because okay. I had some old books. I got some.
Yeah, if anybody would have old
they
books,
were,
it'd be
they
John.
Were old books of. They were newer versions of older books. So I got. Oh,
okay.
I would get lots of books for Christmas. And I'm almost positive I got that was one of the ones, and I might have read it a long time ago. But
gotcha.
I just read it and didn't think, I don't know, I didn't think it was dark. I don't remember it being dark.
If I recall, I read something that it was actually a set of books. It wasn't just one book.
Okay. Well, if you know the Cinderella story, that's based on the Brothers Grimm.
Yes.
Story, Cinder. Yeah. I don't think it's called Cinderella. Might be, but they don't call her Cinderella in the book.
Really?
Yeah. Because...
You've read that?
I don't know if I read it. I have like the complete works of... I think it's the complete works of the Brothers Grimm.
And okay.
It's about a...
yeah, it's
thick. A hardcover. It's about
yeah,
it's two inches.
Two inches thick, yeah.
I've read stories from it.
I think I've seen it on your shelf.
I know that the Cinderella... If this was a different show, I would tell you what they call her.
Oh, okay.
Because I've always been amused because when you read, and so several of the movies that Disney's made that have come from the Grimm's fairy tales,
right?
They've changed it so it's a lot softer and palatable because. If you read those, they're very dark.
Oh yeah.
And it's fascinating. I mean, we're going to read this to our children, and you'd be terrified.
I think that's what they were written for.
Though. I believe it was. At least some of them.
Have you seen the TV show Grimm?
I have every season of that.
Oh, do you really?
I enjoyed that. I really we.
I did too.
Me and my wife and.
You have
my
it on,
daughter,
on DVD?
All of them. I think it's 5 seasons.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yeah. I can. That can be arranged.
I can write my name down on the piece of paper.
Yes.
I can do that.
I really loved it.
I can find it on, I think it's on.
Yeah,
on demand. I know I can get it.
The next time I come over, I'll bring it.
Okay,
all the
great.
I loved it
because I'd like to watch it again from the very beginning.
It did change a little bit. I mean, but we liked the whole thing.
Oh. I know it was kind of morphing. Maybe that's why I stopped watching. Well, or kind of lost
it. We still liked it. When it morphed, we liked the storyline. I think all three of us liked the whole thing, and this was one of the few shows that I was sad that when it ended.
I can bet. Because I was like, wow, this is really a good storyline.
Yeah, I liked it.
Because it wasn't just, there was humor in it.
It was humorous. It was adventure. There was action.
Drama.
Yep. It had a lot of everything.
Adventure. Yeah. It had a lot of everything. And so. Yeah.
Oh, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I got one thing to say.
What's that?
I hope our audience really kind of embraces this and really listens to it and wants, gets something like we did out of it.
I agree.
So that would be the only thing I have to say. So
all right.
Now I'll go with the...
Say goodnight, man cub.
Goodnight, man cub.
Bye.
Later.